Robots Radio. Games. Lore. Stories. Community. Just press play. Welcome to the Fallout Lorecast, the podcast that explores the boundaries of our knowledge about the world of Fallout.
Vault Dwellers, Wastelanders, welcome back to the Fallout Lorecast. This is our patron chat for, what month is this? This is already June. That's crazy how time works. We are talking tonight about what faction we would join if we were in the real, in our real lives, if we were in the Wasteland and we decided to join a faction of any of the factions, any of the like non-playable factions, playable, joinable factions, any of the factions, which ones we would join and why. And we have a wonderful group here tonight. We've got a whole bunch of our patrons joining us to talk about this and a bunch of people in the live stream and all of that. So welcome, everybody. On the count of three, let's just, I don't know, I'm going to count to three and you make the sound of what your faction sounds like, which doesn't make any sense, but let's just give it a try. On the count of three, unmute and just make a weird sound. Here we go. One, two, three.
We will terminate the mutants.
Wow. Oh, terminate the mutants. I heard a bunch of fun sounds there. Welcome, everybody. We're going to, I'm going to mention people's names as they decide to chime in. We're going to go person to person. They're going to talk about which faction they would join and why they, and we're not role-playing characters here. This is if you yourself were transported to the Wasteland, what would you decide? And it kind of puts things in a different context. So who would like to kick us off? Who would like to start this conversation? We've got a bunch of people. I see Void's hand. Void, welcome back. What do you think? What do you think about factions? And how would you handle that yourself?
If I were in the world of Fallout, I would probably... Now, this faction is quite annoying in the way that it approaches you repeatedly. And the main person that you interact with for this faction,
does his name
just kind of runs up to you,
Heston Marvey.
Another faction needs your help. And this, I would probably join the Minutemen just because of the amount of different abilities that I have. I am very mechanically inclined. I am very structurally, whether it be welding or carpentry, I am very building inclined. I have some background knowledge of emergency services because both of my parents have been in emergency services. And it's just one of those things where I'm kind of a jack of all trades. So I feel like my skills would be best put forth there.
Okay. Now here, I'm going to ask you some questions and I might play devil's advocate a little bit because we want to get down to the nitty gritty of it, like why this faction and how this will actually work. My first reaction to that is that all of those skills are very valuable for any faction. So why specifically the Minutemen?
Because the Minutemen have a ethical code where they want to specifically help people out.
Okay. And do you personally feel like that's a big draw for you?
Absolutely. And they want to expand themselves in order to be able to help more people out. It's one of those things where, yes, the responders are also another option, but I also know very little of them. I haven't played the games that they're in.
76.
And what I can tell is that they're just there for basically emergency response and helping to set up just kind of areas where you can restock on your supplies and then be on your way. No, I want to help build a community to where people can help and support one another in building themselves.
Right. Okay. So I guess the main difference between the Minutemen and the responders were there right after the bombs dropped. They were trying to hold society together while people were in dire need directly after the war. Whereas the Minutemen take place like 200 years later, and they're trying to protect and help people who are struggling in the Wasteland build community and survive. And so there's kind of a different perspective. They do very similar things, but I think to your point, rebuilding, using those skills not just to repair the things that are falling apart, but to rebuild, becomes even more crucial and also more difficult. It's much harder to rebuild something that's 200 years after the bombs fell than it is to just fix and supply people with things they need a few years after the bombs fell. Does that make sense?
Right. And I take on difficult jobs all the time. I've got two cars outside that are being procrastinated on because they're going to be too hard to fix right now, but I'm going to fix them eventually. And hell, I'm doing physical work because I know that most of my generation won't do it, and it pays well. So there's a plus.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I love helping people, especially when it will bounce back onto me and help me more to help more people. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that totally makes sense. You've got a really, really cool perspective on this. Let's open this up. Who would like to ask Void a question? Not so much about the Minutemen, but about Void and his decision about the Minutemen. Does anybody have any questions they'd like to throw out here? Pumpkin.
So you're like a Sturgis kind of character.
Yes. Yes, I am.
That's kind of where it was going. I was like, that's the first thing I thought of when you said that you were a jack of all trades, all that.
With my skill set, I am very much Sturgis more than anyone else.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, cool. Cool. Nova, did you have a question?
Yeah. What particularly do you see that you can bring to the table, and what plans or what ideas could you bring as well to the Minutemen? Like, you see the society how it is. What do you think you can do specifically to make everything better?
More of being just all inclusive. Like, I don't care if you're a ghoul, you're a child, a man, a woman, a synth, a super mutant, just about anything. If you can talk and work and help develop a community, then we're going to put you to work and you're going to help develop this community as long as you're a decent person.
Like, raiders are the only people that you discriminate against.
Even then, if they wanted to change their ways and help us out, then yeah, that would be great. Like, if it were one or two of them. But if you're going to try to invade our camp, I'm going to come right back at you full force and you will not survive.
okay, just, cool, cool. Yeah, I totally get it. I guess the debate with things like that is putting trust in somebody who could betray you, right? Like, oh, this raider seems like they are looking for redemption. They're trying to straighten out their lives or whatever. But if I trust them, now there's risk for everybody else in the group. That is a very novel, notable thing to be doing, and like really giving people an opportunity, which I think really tracks with the Minutemen for sure. Willow's got a question for you as well. Willow?
Well, Void, did you know that another settlement is in trouble? I'll mark it on your map.
Yes, I did, actually. And there are like 5 quests from him that I still have yet to do in Fallout 4, only on my second playthrough, which I'm upset about. But I have a lot of dogs now, so.
Okay, nice. Well, this is a good start. I have a feeling some other people are going to choose the Minutemen. We only have so much time, so let's move on. I see Pumpkin's hand. Pumpkin, do you want to go next?
So I'm going to be going with something that Void has already talked about. I'm going to go with the Responders.
All right, Responders.
The Responders have been, like, the second I got into 76 and I found out that there was, for like first responder group, I was all in. And with the detail of like how in depth they go into not just like their story, but like the mechanics of like when you're joining the fire breathers, you have to do the test and do all these things.
Right.
That's very detailed. And I've seen that itself be done in, you know, I know TV, that kind of deal, but it's still one of my favorite groups of all time. And I would definitely be like, going to the responders, specifically into the fire breathers. Like I mentioned before the show, I went in to try and go into fire and rescue. So that's a big thing for me.
Yeah, that makes sense. Now, here's a question about the responders. Would you be part of the original group that ended up unfortunately failing due to complexities? Or would you be like the resurgent second group?
It would probably be the resurgent group.
Okay, that like is now in the game and like working to kind of rebuild the responders. Cool. Cool. I know you don't really get to choose your timeline. You would just be there wherever time period you're in. But like, you know, if you have a different set of skills and abilities, then it would make sense to be part of one as opposed to the other. So specifically the fire breathers, you would have a big old suit on and like be trained and ready for fire and hazards and things like that.
Yeah.
Cool. Cool. All right.
I want to do in real life, so might as well. Want to do it and get in that world.
Yeah, that makes sense. Who has some questions for Pumpkin? Anybody have questions about Pumpkin and the responders? I see a Germinator. Germinator?
As a first responder, especially a fire breather, wouldn't you have to tend to injured people as well?
Don't call me out like that, Germinator.
Pumpkin's just smiling.
After showing me a picture of him like that.
So if you weren't here during the pre-show, we were all chatting. Germinator, if you remember from a few episodes, a few of these patron chats ago, was recently in the hospital with a broken leg. He shared with us some of the x-rays, and Pumpkin was like, oh, dear God, I can't look at that. So Germinator's
and now you know why I haven't gone into it. It's something I want to do.
Well, I guess that opens up a really interesting perspective, though, Pumpkin. Being in a place like the Wasteland, where you do see so much, violence, period, whether it's you defending yourself from ghouls or whatever, like, I would imagine you would get used to that. Germinator, did you have another part of this
more
question?
More likely.
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't necessarily just have to go into rescue and have to deal with people. There's always the structural side of things. Mm-hmm. If their building's about to collapse,
yeah,
right.
To be, that's probably more
very careful, and that's in game. You have the whole obstacle course through the flooded Charleston. So,
yeah,
that's true. All right. Any other questions, Void?
I was gonna say there's also the wildfire for you, being where you are. There is a lot of wildfires out west. And that would be, whether it be search and rescue or just fighting the actual wildfire, that is a very notable thing as well. You're still putting your life on the line and helping people.
Yeah, in the area I live in specifically, the big one is smoke jumping, which is jumping out of planes into the fire.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
And I think that would be cool to see in game, but like, only thing we have is a... vertebrates.
Right. Fun personal note for me, my uncle, who lives in Alaska still, used to work for the National Firefighters, and he went on those kinds of missions, and then eventually he was the guy who like managed a lot of that stuff. So back when like Yellowstone caught fire and they had to send people to smoke jump in and things like that, he was involved with all that stuff, which is intense. That's some crazy stuff. Well, cool. Any other questions for Pumpkin? Anybody else? Pumpkin, any final thoughts?
Not really. Just responders are some of my favorite. The responders are my favorite group. So
yeah.
And I know I'm going to get a lot of hate from my friends who are probably watching this right now because I am in an Enclave roleplay group.
Okay. Yeah. That's a very different group. Sure.
But they all know that responders are my one true love, so...
Yeah, I mean, it's a game. You get to play both if you want, right? Multiple playthroughs. But in your own life, you only get one playthrough, so I guess you just have to pick one of them. I mean, I guess you could be somebody who was a responder who was also part of the Enclave and then decided no longer to be a part of the Enclave and to join the response. Like, you could have a whole mixed background like that.
Or you could be a spy.
Or a spy. All right, who would like to go next? Next up, we've got Basic Zombie Dude. What do you think, Zombie Dude?
So, not only am I a Fallout fan, but I am a Warhammer fan. And in the Fallout lore, the best thing that you could ever do is the Brotherhood of Steel. I've been a fan of the Brotherhood of Steel since Fallout 1. I like their code of ethics, specifically as well as their military aesthetic. And in my opinion, they're kind of the only people in the Wasteland to get things done most of the time. Even though they might be a little messed up in the head.
It depends. Hey. I mean, there are people in every faction who are messed up. I mean, it is the Wasteland. A lot of people have been through a lot of trauma. So it makes sense, right?
It also depends on their elder. Like, right. We don't like Fallout 4 Maxim. We do not. Eradicated. Gone. Mm-hmm. Bye-bye. Mm-hmm.
So you would pick, like, Fallout 3 Brotherhood?
Fallout 3 or maybe, like, Fallout 1 or 2, because those are, like, the games that I've played the most other than New Vegas. Okay. And in New Vegas, the Brotherhood of Steel doesn't even matter.
Right. And the Brotherhood they're kind of a minor faction in that one. And in 76, the Brotherhood is a little bit more... it's different. It's an offshoot that has worked their way. I mean, there was the group, Taggarty's group in the beginning, who died off, and then there's the second group that showed back up later, and they still have some internal politics. But they aren't predominantly as, I don't know, determined as Maxon was in 4 to wipe out everybody who's not a human and that sort of thing. Willow's got a question. Willow, what's your question?
Obviously, the audio listeners will not know this, but I do Warhammer, and I've got a little marine right here.
Space marine, yeah.
Yeah! Yeah.
Cool. I will send some better photos in the Discord, but I'm creating my custom chapter at the minute, so I'm sure Zombie Dude would appreciate that.
Nice. Zombie,
I would.
That brings up an interesting question. How important is power armor in your decision here? Because that is a commonality between those two things, right?
So with power armor, they practically do the same thing, except for with space marines, they're genetically modified.
Right.
Power armor, like, for instance, I'm going to be making a video where I'm trying to beat the game with only space marine rule sets for each Fallout game.
Okay.
And I have to have power armor, because in space marine specific stuff, like, you'll see them punching people's heads in and just having super strength, and sometimes I'll have a power fist and just punch through somebody.
Right.
Like, you know, Fallout. Yeah. So
yeah,
power armor is a huge thing, especially when it comes to the commonality in between the power armors themselves. The only difference is the wearer of the power armor in Warhammer's genetic, they modified, while the wearer of the power armor in Fallout is not.
Right.
Once they get past that power armor, donezo.
Well, unless they've got some mutations, like in 76, that's a thing. Getting closer to your Warhammer perspective on the Brotherhood here. Willow's got something else real quick. Willow, chime back in.
All that sort of playthrough, I presume you'll have to have quite a low speech skill, because space marines are quite socially stunted, let's be honest.
Yeah. Let's be honest, my friend. When do you need speech when all you have is war?
Okay, so wait, so that's the kind
war
of brotherhood.
Never changes.
That's the kind of brotherhood member you're going to be. All right. Who else has questions?
Exterminate.
Who has questions for Zombie Dude?
I've got two.
Nova, go for it.
All right. First of all, which model of power armor would she prefer to use? And secondly, who would you exterminate first out of all the rivals to the Brotherhood?
Ooh.
Okay, so for the power armor I would use, it would probably be the T-51 if I could get my hands on it, depending on the game. I'm pretty sure it's been in most.
Well, no, we're talking reality. This isn't a game.
Oh,
this is you reality. In the wasteland, and so you are part of the Brotherhood. So chances are you have stores of whatever power armor you want, assuming that you are at the rank that you can have access to it. So you're a knight. They've got, like, your selection of power armor. You pick it. So let's go with that.
Oh, a T-51.
So you're going classic 51, huh?
I'm going to be tanky.
Okay.
Especially if it's the reinforced one.
Yeah, and then who are you exterminating first?
In the most recent playthrough of Fallout 1 that I've done, the super mutants killed every single one of my companions. And it was a very, very sad day for me. So specifically, if we're talking about Fallout 1, every single mutant, the master, they're all dying.
Yeah, but this is no you. Mercy. This is you in the wasteland. This isn't in a game. This is you with your life. So this version of you probably wouldn't have played Fallout, because there's no Fallout game in the Fallout universe. So based on your experience, what do you think? And clearly you would have had some history maybe with super mutants or ghouls or whatever, right? But, like, just off the top of your head, what do you think? Still super mutants?
All muties.
Just anything that's a mutant. Okay.
Anything mutant.
Got it. St. Giev has a question too.
Would you still stay in if they told you you had to be a scribe and not a paladin? They said, no, you're not going out. You're going to sit around and work on tech all day or do research or just work on the codex. You're not leaving the bunker. Sorry, bud.
Honestly, yes, because in real life, I have to work with a lot of tech anyways, including like with my laptop and mic stuff. Like earlier today, I was just working on mic stuff as well. So if I'm working on tech and then also scribing down on tech, or not scribing, but transcribing into like text logs and stuff like that, yes, because it's pretty much what I do in my everyday life other than my job.
Good answer. Good answer. All right. Who else? We got to keep moving. Who else would pick the Brotherhood? Is there anyone else in here that's like, okay, Willow's a fellow Brotherhood, fellow bro. Willow, let's jump to you. Why the Brotherhood of Steel?
One, I'm also a big Warhammer nerd. Two, I do essentially, because I'm in the UK, the equivalent of AP classes for computer science, maths, and physics. So obviously the sort of reclamation of technology is a very big interesting thing for me.
Okay.
So I think screw the power armor. I'm going to be a scribe and just be happy.
All right. So you're going to go the other side. You're going to choose the scribe side on purpose. All right. Now, other than the connection to Warhammer and just and technology and stuff, are you similar to Zombie Dude? Do you prefer like working for like a Lions Brotherhood, or are you just down for the cause? Doesn't matter who's in charge. What do you think?
Basically, anyone who isn't Maxon, because I'm not a big fan of his racism against synths, if I'm honest. Like, they are basically humans. Let's be real. They're like sentient, intelligent and stuff. So I don't really support him being against that. So,
yeah. Yeah. So here's a fun perspective. With the perspective on the Brotherhood that we get from the TV show, which is the furthest point in time, and we still aren't 100% sure who's actually in charge of the Brotherhood ultimately based on season one, would you still be cool with them? Would you sign up for that Brotherhood?
I mean, I think that's quite difficult considering like we don't particularly know the ins and outs of the Brotherhood at that sort of point in the timeline.
Right. But the perspective that we do get is fairly clear, right? Like the members seem to be treated very roughly. The knights seem to be very arrogant. Like those are the kinds of people you'd have to work with.
I mean, you do also have to consider that probably in the other games behind the scenes, there is a lot of that sort of boot camp stuff going on. Personally, I'd not like that. I'm not very good at being like all, oh, you've got to do 100 push-ups, 100 sit-ups, all right, that. Right. That wouldn't be for me. I'd rather just show up at like a Brotherhood base in the wasteland, just be like, hey, I'm interested, let me in.
Just do my job. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. Anybody else have questions for Willow on this one? Go ahead, Zombie Dude.
One very simple question. Exterminate all mutants, brother?
Definitely, brother.
I like that you all talk funny. Is this how you would actually talk when you join the Brotherhood?
Down with the muties.
Down with the muties, brother. Yes.
Down with the mutant scum.
It's turning, when I do it, it turns into this weird German thing. Yes. Kill the mutants.
You're the German scientist for the TV show.
Pumpkin's got a question for you, Pumpkin.
I don't know if you asked this because I zoned out for a split second. What power armor would you choose?
No, we haven't asked this yet. Willow, what power armor?
Well, I would be a scribe, preferably, so I wouldn't be using power armor. But if I had to choose, I think it would have to be T-45. It's like quite a classic one, really.
Yeah, okay. An early one.
Okay, now, like, now, second. Sorry, go ahead.
Just going off of like 76, like the different paint schemes for the T-45 are pretty sick.
Hey, question two: normal scribe or science scribe?
Science scribe, most definitely.
Science scribe.
The more drip.
Yeah. That also matches your interest that you were talking about earlier, the classes and things that you've been taking. But cool.
The drip is also really important. You can't forget it.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Any other questions for Willow? Paragon, go for it.
All right. So would you be the one that would want to stay at the base and try and, you know, look over technology there? Or would you rather want to be out on field missions trying to, you know, go into old military bases with other paladins trying to find new tech? Or which one would you rather do?
Yeah, out in the field or staying home?
I think that's quite a tough one. On the one side, I'd be bored and getting a bit of cabin fever. But also, I could go out and do fun stuff and maybe die. But I think the field exploration would be a lot more fun, simply for the fact I get to have a little scavenger around and find little like pre-war circuit boards and stuff.
Okay, cool. Cool, cool. All right, do we have any other Steel Bros? Hashtag Steel Bros. Nobody else is choosing Brotherhood of Steel. All right.
Hashtag Muti Killers.
Hashtag Muti Killers. Well, thanks, Willow. Willow and Zombie Dude are our two Steel Bros. Who would like to go next? Who wants to chime in now? Saint Jeb, I saw your hand first. Which faction?
Can you guys hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you. Which faction would you pick?
So this one might seem unorthodox, but I'd probably go with the New Canaanites, you know, or, you know, at Salt Lake. Probably go with the Mormons.
Wow, okay. Is that because that's similar to your own background, beliefs, those kinds of things?
It's also something, it's actually something, if you had asked me 10 years ago, I probably wouldn't have said. But because I tell you, like, you know, personal wise, like, yeah, I've known quite a few in my life and been very nice people, but also just, I've done everything, a lot of other things in my life. I work in healthcare, I've been in the military, and good as those things are, there's always something nice about, like, the way I see, like, them presented, especially in the Fallout universe, where, you know, everything's so horrible. They're still sending missionaries to go to these bad parts of the wasteland, going into the Grand Canyon with probably hostile tribals, trying to teach them just basic life skills. You know, this is how you farm. This is how you defend yourself. Oh, and by the way, here's the good news that they also have to present. Right. And the things that Joshua did for the Legion aside, no one, from what I recall, no one has anything really bad to say about them. Because, correct me if I'm wrong, I think there's some people who even have bad things to say about the followers of the Apocalypse, which is crazy because they're all like the best thing probably to come out of the wasteland as far as the nicest people. But I think there's even people who still don't like them. But for the New Canaanites, other than Caesar, I don't think anyone actually hates them.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing because you're right. Like they seem to be on that whiter or brighter, less dark side of the spectrum, right? Like out there helping people, you know, along with like the responders, the Minutemen, the followers of the Apocalypse. But they do have that kind of religious component. So if that's something that's important to you and something that you feel would help with the wasteland and help the people in the wasteland, then it makes sense to choose them as opposed to, say, the followers of the Apocalypse who don't really have that component.
Yeah, it's I don't know if you can really kind of explain it. It's also more of just, it goes beyond simply just, oh yeah, we're out here, you know, oh, we defended the settlement again. Oh, what are we gonna do tomorrow? Oh, well, no, it's kind of it. Just kind of call us again if things are still going bad. There's like that extra layer of it, I guess, there's that philosophical layer to it where, well, again, it doesn't exactly have to be a Christian one or a religious one, but I feel like for those people, it kind of adds that extra level of sincerity to it. And I know they, you know, obviously they have their problems as well, I'm sure, just like they do in the real world. But for me, that always kind of just like, I don't know, I got a little bit more out of it.
Okay. Yeah, it's interesting because this is a niche choice. This isn't something that usually comes up when people get asked this question. So that's cool. Pumpkin's got a question for you.
So are you a Joshua kind of New Canaanite or a Daniel?
I'd probably be more Daniel-like in the sense that I probably would never have ended up, I probably would not. Well, I don't know. I don't know exactly what I'd do in that situation. I can't see myself aiding and abetting, you know, a tyrant like Caesar. But I, you know, Joshua probably said the same thing. Like, oh, no, I just want to go out and help the world. And before you know it, you're leading how many tribes to try and, you know, wage genocide and everything else. I'm going to say no. I'd be more like Daniel, but God only knows.
Yeah, hopefully.
I have a question for you.
Hopefully. Yeah, go for it, Nova.
All right, would you rather be a missionary or would you rather actually live in New Canaan itself?
Oh, I'd want to be a missionary. I'd want to go out and, you know, do the work, do what, you know, and see, you know, honestly try and help the people of the wasteland, try and educate them, try to, you know, also learn about them. Well, as a, you know, spread the good news, as a, you know, as the Mormons say.
Yeah. It's interesting.
Okay.
It's interesting to me how many people pick, I want to go out into the world, knowing from our perspective, not just from somebody who grew up maybe in the safety of a group and just didn't get a whole lot of experience out in the world, but we've all played a bunch of Fallout games. We know how dangerous it is out there. How many times have you died in your own Fallout games due to just getting mauled by a bear or a super mutant or a deathclaw or fell off a cliff or something like that? Like, chances are, if any of us decided to go out into the wasteland, we would be shortening the full duration of our life by a considerable number of years. And yet we're still like, yeah, I'd probably be bored, so I'm gonna go out into the world and do stuff. But like, it seems like that just feels natural though, right? Like, yeah, you would be bored and you'd want to see what was out there. And I mean, right? Like,
yeah.
Definitely Darwin Award worthy.
Well, because we're the main character. And so we experience so much and we know what amazing things are out there to find. We probably won't find it, but we still know, as, you know, people who have played the games. Anyway, I have a follow up question to that, Joe. Where in the wasteland do you think is in the most need of your services as a missionary?
Oh, I mean, probably I'd say the worst place we've ever gone was, in my opinion, is probably the Capital Wasteland. It just seems awful. I mean, it's still highly irradiated. I'd see there's probably, I think, other than Caesar's Legion, which I don't think I'd survive much very long in that territory. The Capital Wasteland still has slavers. There are many people who are probably highly uneducated and just generally hopeless. That's really the part that I think there's a lot of hopeless people there who, if nothing else, could use some level of reassurance or some help. So probably there.
And highly destroyed. Are you really
willing to hike across the entire United States just to visit the Capital Wasteland and help the people there?
I've driven across it a number of times. So hey,
yeah, we're talking about your 2 feet, not a car.
Well, given the chance, it seems like that would be a location you'd like to go to. Like, if you had the opportunity to go there, right? Like,
absolutely.
Who knows? Cool. Awesome. Thank you for bringing an option that is generally not brought up very often. That was very cool. All right. Who else would like to go? We'll take one more before we take a quick break. Ted.
I see
Ted's hand. You okay, Nova? You got a question or?
No, it's fine. Go.
Okay. Let's go to Ted.
Hey, just checking audio is good. I switched to AirPods.
Yeah, you're good. You're good. Which faction would you choose?
So I'm kind of going Jews route. I'm kind of glad somebody else did like a, off track kind of thing. So I'll actually let you pick. I got two that are 50-50. I think I have fun points on. So either the chairman from the Tops or Diamond City. And there's a very specific niche to Diamond City, but I'll let you kind of pick if you want to go down one route or the other for the fun of the podcast.
Wow. I could just choose, but everybody else could choose too. Let's see what chat says. The correct answer is the Kings, says Redbeard Ninja in chat.
That's a fair point.
Yeah, those are both interesting. I think I'm more curious about the Diamond City one. Like, where are you going with that? Like, the chairman seems pretty straightforward, but like, Diamond City, like, you go, I don't know.
So
talk about that.
With Diamond City one, just personally, I'm a huge baseball fan. I played most of my life. So the fact that it exists in Fenway, you know, I'm treating this kind of like the movie Idiocracy with Luke Wilson, where I'm transported to a different world.
Right.
And I still know my old world. So I'm kind of back to the future almost to this time frame. And so my first job is to get Mo out of there. Mo knows nothing about baseball.
That's true.
Falls in swatters. He doesn't know history. So I'm kind of having some fun with the idea that, you know, from a logistics perspective, I'm in the most secure place in the Commonwealth, or one of the most secure. So safety, food, all that's covered. He's a retailer. I can make a living there. So I'm kind of going more of a practical, I got to survive kind of route. And so I go in there for a week knowing what I know about baseball. Mo's discredited. We'll get him a different job. You know, he can help out at the shop still or something like that. But, you know, try to do something along those lines. And then, I want to, you know, eventually, let's see if we can get Major League Baseball back going. We'll get a traveling team. We'll go to Capital Wasteland and go to like Monument Park or something like that. And
that's interesting.
Start a full game again.
Yeah.
So more kind of having, you know, whimsical kind of fun side.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. That's a perspective I totally didn't expect from a baseball perspective. That makes sense. All right. Let's open this up. Who has questions about being a part of Diamond City or bringing baseball back to the wasteland? Any of that stuff? Jeb, what do you want to know?
Yeah. So for this new Wasteland League, are they going to be testing? I mean, are we going to be allowed to have super mutants? I mean, what is the league standards on the use of performance enhancing substances?
And how fast do you think a super mutant could throw a baseball? Holy crap!
So basically, we're kind of assuming what was the mission? The rescue in the top of the skyscraper with the super mutant and the trying to remember the character. Essentially, I think it's open grounds. I mean, you got to keep it interesting. They haven't seen a game in 200 years, so I think it's got to be like P.T. Barnum circus type feeling of anyone can play.
Yeah, as long as they're peaceful, right?
Yeah, as long as there's no, deaths on the field, hopefully. But yeah, you want to inject some psycho just before you get in the batter's box just so you get another 50 feet on the ball. They got some gloves, some bats still, laying around. So
that was 150 mile per hour curveball. What the heck?
you got to bring people together. The wasteland is a dreary place, so find some entertainment.
Yeah. Void, I saw your hand next. Go ahead.
I don't think it's about how fast they can throw it. I think it's about how accurate they can throw it. You forget how slow and clumsy they are.
Yeah. So the ball might fly really fast, but it never actually goes over the plate.
Right. It might just take out the batter's head,
Right. Yeah. Like a 150 mile an hour fastball could do a lot of damage.
Do the players have life insurance?
Probably not. It is probably the wasteland. Yeah. Ted, did you want to respond to that at all?
Oh, I was just going to say, there's a handful of the suiciders out there. Maybe they can practice at their own forts, throwing the mini nukes back and forth, disarmed, of course, to get some practice on accuracy of throwing to the basement and stuff like that. So,
right.
Yeah, it'd be interesting.
Okay, Willow's got a question. Willow, what do you want to know?
No, so you wouldn't have to worry about whether or not include super mutants. But if the Brotherhood of Steel kills them all,
okay.
That's a good point.
There you go. All right. Any other questions? Any other questions about baseball, Diamond City, being a part of all that? Paragon.
So how would you get the people together? Would you just get a monopoly of caravan riders and just, spread across the wasteland? Or how would you kind of advertise this whole wasteland league?
I think first, I'd have to go visit Void wherever he's at. He's got Sturgeon with him. Get the radio going from the old fort to broadcast to everybody.
And, that's a great idea. Yeah, you broadcast a game. You get your own little games going. Then you broadcast the game. And then you have a commentator who's super excited about the game, right? Because it's fun to listen to sports on the radio. Mm-hmm. And then people are like, oh, my God, I want to play this game, too. And then you have signups and you start a league. That makes perfect sense. That's brilliant. I was like, I don't know how you would do that, but you just solved it right there. That's amazing. Jeb's got another question.
Oh, no, I was going to say, you generate some more interest. You get New Vegas involved. You start letting sports betting in. I mean, you could bring FanDuel to the wasteland. We're thinking small here.
Yeah, well, New Vegas is pretty far away, but Atlantic City is pretty close. So you could have Atlantic City betting. Yeah, because that's probably still a thing. I mean, we know it is in 76, but, by the time Diamond City's around, it's probably still there, I would assume. Maybe not. We don't know, but it could be. Ted, this is a really fun idea. This is, again, another. I love these conversations because you guys all have ideas that just never come into my brain. And it's so fun to talk about all these. But we got to take a quick break. I got to thank you guys, our patrons and everybody else. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back and then we'll go talk to everybody else. Here we go.
Don't you deserve a Medicare plan you can count on? Well, you can count on a Medicare Advantage plan from United Healthcare. Enjoy reliable coverage and low out-of-pocket costs with a Medicare Advantage plan from United Healthcare. And if you have a chronic condition like diabetes, chronic heart failure, or a cardiovascular disorder, you may qualify for a United Healthcare Complete Care plan with plans that fit your life today and as your needs change tomorrow. Find out more about United Healthcare plans at uhc.com/Medicare.
Hello there, old chap. Good to see another of General Atomic's finest, still eager to serve.
All right, here we are in the middle of the show. This is where I get to thank my patrons, everybody here and everybody else who supports the show, and welcome the new ones. But also, big news, I've got some new stuff going on, both for our patrons and for people who like to tune into my live streams. So I have decided to start doing some more gameplay episodes where I'll be role-playing through the content in Fallout 76 because we've got a new zone. So I already started it this week. I put up an episode, both the audio and the video, on the Patreon. And so these are going to be episodes that you can tune into if you want to just join me during the live streams. You can turn on notifications at twitch.tv/robotsradio. Or if you miss those and you want access to them later, they're going to be available for all of our patrons, all of our paid patrons. And you can either watch the video again or you can listen to it kind of like a podcast like I have done in the feed in the past. So it's another way to say thank you to all of you for supporting and to give you more things that you can enjoy. And also a fun way, if you want to come chat with me, I've been getting a lot of requests where people say, hey, I'd love to hang out and talk. And that's jumping into the live stream is a great way to do that. So thank you to all of you for your support and come check out some of the new stuff. Also, welcome to our new patrons. We have a list here. We've got Sean J, Kilted Sith, Dusty Ray, Vincent M, KJ, Amy O, and Kakroz, I think is how you pronounce that. Welcome to the Patreon. So glad that you are here. Hope you're enjoying everything that you're getting on the Patreon. And we have to shout out Germinator, who's here with us. Germinator, you are our sentry bot currently, our only one. Thank you so much for the support. And to all 117 of our patrons, thank you so much. If you are interested in getting access to all the stuff on there, including all these new bonus episodes I'll be doing, head over to patreon.com/falloutlorecast. Go check everything out. Also, if you want to help out in other ways, leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts and a review. I'll read those out on future episodes of the show. In order to save some time this week, I'm just going to jump over to next week and we'll read some more of those next week. You can also rate the show on other platforms and you can also share it with your friends. All of that stuff is super helpful. Thanks for being here, everybody. All right, let's move on with the rest of the conversation. Here we go.
If you have any questions about Nuka World, I'd be delighted to answer them.
All right, who would like to go next? Nova, I know you wanted to chime in.
What I was going to say is my is like faintly familiar or faintly similar to Jubb's. That's what I was going to say, but then the other person went first, and that's fine. Anyway, so
sure, go for it. We'll start with you.
The faction that has most captured my attention has actually been one that has been rarely explored, and that would be the Desert Rangers of New Vegas fame. So anyone who is not familiar, the Desert Rangers and the NCR Rangers are two different organizations that kind of came together because of Caesar's Legion. And essentially what the Desert Rangers were like, think of the Texas Rangers or the Arizona Rangers, but in the Fallout universe. They were basically just lawmen who just roamed the deserts protecting communities. And I just find that admirable. And also they were said to be some of the most heavily armed people around and some of the most dangerous. And I like guns, and so I find that really fascinating as well.
Okay.
I also just love the desert, the desert setting, and the fact that they were just, you know, pretty, like, very iconic because, like, the NCR Rangers got their outfit from the Desert Rangers, like,
right.
the signature duster with jeans and the mask and the helmet.
Cool helmet.
Yeah. That was the Desert Rangers first.
Yeah.
And the NCR Rangers adopted that after them. So you're
basically Chuck Norris.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, cool. Chuck Norris, just a little slightly more futuristic, though.
Yeah, it's like future wasteland Chuck Norris. That's
yes,
that's
sir. The 4570 and 37 Magnum.
Yeah, and if those don't work, you just kick them, and then they go flying off the side of a cliff or something. Yeah, awesome.
Yeah, basically, yeah. And
no, that's
why, like I said, is because the life in the wasteland is already as harsh as it is, and so it'd be good to have at least some form of stability, especially in the harsh deserts of the Mojave and Sonoran and whatever ones I can't think of out there out west in Arizona and Texas and Nevada.
Right. It's a callback to, you know, basically lawmen from the Wild West.
They're basically just free roaming marshals.
Right. Yeah, that's cool. All right, let's open up the questions. Who has questions about Desert Rangers for Nova and how Nova's gonna make that work? Anybody have questions? Everyone's like, nope, sounds good. Oh, Germinator's got a question for you. Let's start with Germinator.
All right.
What do you want to know, Germinator?
Let's hear it, Ozzy.
What I've been wanting to know is how on earth are you gonna survive in the heat wearing a big old
Yeah, the you big cut out. Yeah, your mute turned back on for some reason. But we get what you're saying. The outfit where you're all hot and like you're in the heat, you're covered up. You got a big suit that covers your whole body.
Yeah, well, that's dry heat, not humid heat, and so it's a lot more tolerable.
It also would make the inside of your suit more humid heat, though, once you get all sweaty.
That's fine. Well, what you are forgetting is that there actually is a fan pack on their backs.
Yeah, there is a little bit of a cooling, right?
There's a little coolant pack that they're carrying around with them.
Right.
Because those suits they salvaged from the Marine Corps, and that was the Marine Corps' desert warfare armor.
Yeah.
Or at least most of it was. And so it was specifically designed for the Gobi Desert and to fight the Chinese with.
There you go.
Fighting against the Chinese. So
that's the answer to the question.
You just have fusion cells or it stays operated, I'd be fine.
Yeah.
And then I'll just night vision, a hunting rifle, or like I said, a 4570 or something else like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Geobs has got a question.
Yes, sir.
What do you want to know?
Are you talking Desert Rangers pre-NCR unification, or are you talking afterwards?
Ooh,
and then
Gotcha.
Okay. And I guess my question is, if you live long enough to see it, are you going to just say, are you going to agree with the unification, or you say, well, this isn't what we're about. We're not we're not part of this country. How is that going to happen when that time comes?
Yeah.
Well, like, if you take an outside perspective, I know that's breaking the rules, but take an outside perspective, you could say that the NCR is definitely the greatest hope for post-apocalyptic world.
you just created a whole bunch of comments on this episode where people are going to go, well, actually, according to my perspective,
you're welcome, blah, 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 blah. Tom, I'm a professional at that. I'm the creator myself.
I know the fan base well enough to know that not everyone's going to agree with that, but
yes,
keep going.
That was an intentional jab.
Right.
But like I said, an outside perspective, but from the ground, it could be just a little bit controversial, but at the same time, though, you have to remember the circumstance that they found themselves in. They've been literally pushed out of Texas, out of Arizona, and chased all the way into Nevada, and their numbers were dwindling because they had been fighting a guerrilla campaign against the Caesar's Legion. And so I think that they would take it, and they had a contractual obligation that they signed with New Vegas before the NCR arrived to protect New Vegas. And so I think that this would be like their best hope. And I think that's what most of the Desert Rangers infantrymen and soldiers would think as well, because, their entire ideology is to protect is to protect the communities. And so as long as the NCR doesn't, get too heavily imperialistic and say we're going to annex and just take over New Vegas, which they were going to do, but besides the point, they could still justify joining the NCR and saying, well, we're trying to protect you, and this is what you guys need best, just from what we could see.
Okay. Also, Pumpkin King's having a hard time reconnecting. There's two of him, but neither of those are actually him. So hopefully Pumpkin can join us back. All right. Any other questions for Nova? Those are good answers, Nova. Ted's got a question.
So, Nova, to go to Tom's comment with Walker Texas Ranger, who are the companions of across all the games? Who's your Trivette? Who are you recruiting to be your partner out in the wasteland?
Probably Cassidy, if I'm being honest. Rose of Sharon Cassidy. She already has the mentality. She kicks ass. She spits fire and drinks whiskey by the gallon, and I just absolute love her personality, because it is solid as a rock. She does not bend her morals to justify her actions. She just goes with what she knows is right, or what she thinks is right, which is why she hadn't sold her caravan, because it was her father's name. You have to then convince her and change her mind and say, well, he wouldn't want you to be stuck here at this outpost. So Rose Sharon Cassidy, to be short.
Yeah, solid answer. Good questions. All right, thanks, Nova. We got to move on. Who would like to go next? I know we had a few other people raising hands. I saw Paragon's hand first this time. Quicker on the draw. If you were on Jeopardy, you would get to answer the question because you hit the button, or maybe it's just the delay on my side. But last Paragon, what faction are you going with?
So it's kind of like Nova's cousin faction. I'm going with the Regulators from Fallout 3. Essentially, basically, everything that Nova said, I find them very admirable. I myself am very, I guess, a good person. I try to be, at least. So whenever I saw the regulators, just going after essentially any evil character, I immediately was drawn to them because it's okay. The wasteland's already a terrible place. Let's go ahead and try and make it at least a little bit better, person by person. So definitely the regulators for me.
Okay, interesting. I just looked them up just to be double sure. But yeah, they show up in Fallout 3, but they also were in the original Fallout. There's a group called the Regulators from Fallout. This sounds like one of those episodes I need to go dig into to get all the facts and do it in a future episode. But it also sounds like you are of the same, similar kind of mindset as some of the other people, talking about how you can make the Wasteland a better place through the actions of the group that you're joining. Giub has a question for you. What do you want to know?
So you're talking about the Fallout 3 regulators, correct?
Yes, correct.
What are you going to do with all those fingers? I got to ask.
Hey, look, we gotta have some kind of currency and, you know, some, we gotta have some revenue coming in, you know what I mean?
Gotcha. Okay.
Wow. All right. Any other questions? Any more questions about?
I was hoping you would say Fingerbone Christmas tree.
Or go the Elden Ring route. I'm just going to leave it at that.
Like giant fingers?
You could go there.
Weird. All right. Okay. So they're a paramilitary group as well, right? It feels like if you're going to be in the Wasteland, you have to have some semblance of defending yourself or protecting yourself. Do you see yourself out there on the front lines?
So before I got out of high school, I was actually getting recruited from the Army. And I have a bunch of family that was, you know, military background. So I definitely could see myself out on the front lines, hypothetically speaking, before I got injured in the real world. I would definitely be okay with being out on the front lines, maybe potentially, you know, teaming up with others such as the Lions Brotherhood, since they're out in the Wasteland, and we kind of align with the same kind of ideals. So, I definitely could see myself out on the front lines.
Okay. Would you still wear the duster and the cowboy hat?
Oh, 100%.
Yeah. Is that part of the appeal of the group? Is that
Yes.
Yeah.
You got to go Western or nothing.
Right. Cool. All right. Any other questions about the regulators and Paragon being a part of it? I don't see any other questions. Any last words on this one? Anything else you want to share about it?
Just that they're probably one of the cooler factions to me personally.
Yeah, it's another smaller faction. I haven't done an episode on them, but you know, think that's part of the fun talking with all you guys. You remind me about stuff that I haven't thought about in a long time, and I'm like, oh yeah, I could totally do an episode on them. Very cool. All right, Dusty, did you have your hand up? I think Dusty also had his hand up previously.
Yeah, I had it.
Yeah, all right. What faction would you choose?
Mine would be more on the controversial side. I think I would do more like the Enclave.
Wow, okay. Somebody picked the Enclave. Somebody always picks the Enclave.
I think with a little better leadership, I mean, you know, they could be more like the Brotherhood of Steel.
Okay, all right. So why do they resonate with you personally? What do you see in them?
Well, I just see them more as like having, you know, the better technology, you know, better weapons, better power armor, you know, having more resources, you know. It's just like they could help more, like I said, with better leadership.
Right. So, I mean, there's the huge sticking point of they were part of a dark side of the government that may have helped engineer the end of the world. And then since then have been kind of a fascist group that see only pure humans as being humans. How do you deal with that? All of that stuff?
Well, like I said, it would have to be a little bit better leadership. And
so you would be okay. So this is interesting because back when my daughter joined me on the podcast, one of the first episodes we did together, she talked about how her first ending she picked for Fallout 4 was the Institute ending. And her perspective on that was that if she was in charge of the Institute, she could make better decisions. She could do things, make it a good organization with the power that was there. Do you see the Enclave as that sort of thing? Like you would want to raise in power in ranks of the Enclave in order to change it from the inside?
Yeah, like if you're going from a real world, actually being there, yeah, I'd see myself coming up in the ranks and sort of changing stuff in the, you know, enclave.
Yeah, that sounds like a huge task. It also sounds like the kind of thing that could be very dangerous, because if the wrong people, if you get on the wrong side of the wrong people too soon and they know what you're trying to do, then I don't know how long you survive that. So you'd have to be very tactful, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, that could go for any of the factors we've talked about. You know, everybody's like one crazy leader from being a genocidal faction, you know?
That's true. That's true.
It's the wasteland.
It is the wasteland. All right. All right. The Enclave. Let's open this up. Who has questions about Dusty and the Enclave? Paragon? What do you want to know?
So I understand your reasoning about going to the Enclave, but would you be willing to get your hands dirty all those months or years or however long it would take in order to get them to, say, the Brotherhood of Steel kind of mindset? Or would you want to kind of like sabotage them from within and kind of like do a coup?
Well, that's a good question. Both would probably would where I think it would be more like getting the your hands dirty.
So like you as like a novice level person, your superiors are like, hey, that village over there went back against what they agreed on. You need to go in there and just kill them all as an example. Like something like that happens, right? And you're like, yes, sir. And you just go do it? You'd be okay? You'd be cool with that?
Not the whole village.
just the old guy who's about to die anyway.
we've seen examples of this, like with the Brotherhood, you know.
None of them are 100% pure.
When it comes down to it, they've, you know, done the worst today, you know.
Yeah, but like, I mean, there is the deflecting and saying everybody else has to deal with this too, which is true. But in your personal perspective, you feel like you'd be able to do that, or would you stand against it in that moment? Because it's a tricky, I mean, none of these questions are easy, right? That's the beauty of the Wasteland Fallout. And Fallout is that there's just no simple answer. So I can see I would have to do that in order to get to a place where I can change things and I would regret it and I have guilt. But I can also see the perspective of like, maybe that's too far. I would have to stand against it in that moment and maybe exert my power and see if people follow me because I'm powerful and willing to take people out. You know, like,
yeah, you'd have to pick your battles.
Yeah.
You know, take a stand for every now and then, but you know, you'd have to do what you had to do sometime.
Yeah.
Hopefully it's not that bad as killing a whole village.
Yeah, hopefully. Zombie Dude's got a question for you. What do you want to know, Zombie Dude?
So would you be more like a type like Frank Horgan, where you saw every single person other than the people in the Enclave as mutants? Or would you be more like the Fallout 3 or New Vegas Enclave?
I would think more maybe Fallout 3. More like Colonel Autumn. I think if it wasn't, if Eden, President Eden, was out of the way and Colonel Autumn was in charge, I think the Fallout 3 Enclave would have been a whole lot better faction, you know? I think it would. Eden was the only one that wanted to put the virus in the water to begin with. I don't think Colonel Autumn had anything to do with that.
Yeah, different leadership definitely changes the way each of the groups can feel, for sure. Yeah. Good question, Zombie Dude. All right. Any other questions about Enclave for Dusty? Willow?
I from the sounds of it, it sounds like me and Zombie Dude, who are Brotherhood sort of side of it, could probably side with you if you're trying to turn the Enclave that way. And also, like, the whole killing super mutants thing is also a bonus.
You're making friends.
That's on the top of the list there.
Get rid of all super mutants. Even the nice ones? There's some that are nice, right? All right. Pumpkin's got a question for you.
You can't hear me.
I can. You're kind of quiet, but if you speak up,
kind of low,
or just lean towards your mic somewhere. I don't know.
Can you hear me better now?
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. XO1 or Hellfire?
I mean, they're pretty cool. They're both pretty cool.
Classic. Go XO1.
Okay. There is. Remember, there. I missed an option because I totally. It's just Tesla. The
XO2.
Tesla.
Yeah, gotta have the Tesla on any one of them.
Okay. Nice. All right. That's interesting perspective, Dusty. Thanks for that. Anyone else like to chime in? I know we've got Wasteland Ronin here. I don't know. You haven't gone yet. Would you like to jump in? And we also have Lil Green. I don't know if Lil Green wants to chime in or not. He's kind of just chilling, hanging out for the episode.
Yeah, I picked the Enclave.
Wasteland, you're Enclave also.
Yeah, I had two factions. One was Atom Cats, which is kind of my goofier faction.
Mm-hmm.
But then Enclave's the second.
Okay, so let's talk more Enclave, because that's an interesting pick. Same kinds of questions for you. Like, why the Enclave? What draws you to them? What would you do as part of them?
I mean, the Wasteland is completely full of warfare, so you have to have some serious might to go in there and deal with the creatures and the monsters and the other factions trying to raid against you. And I think the Enclave, I don't have much experience with them in like prior games. I've only played 4 and 76, but in 4, they're very like stealthy, whereas the Brotherhood just shows up in mass numbers. But Enclave shows up and there's like 6 of them, and they complete their mission and they exfil, and nobody knows they're there, but they completed what they needed to complete. Mm-hmm. I feel like they're more elite, stealthy kind of, unless you run into them, then they start shooting at you. But they're very elite, I would say.
Yeah, post Fallout 3, they seem to be a little bit more careful. Let's just say it, call it that way. Yeah. Okay. So that you find that attractive? Like
a mighty force.
Okay. How do you deal with the, like, I don't know, the dealing with their background, their history, the terrible things that they've done, like that kind of side of it?
Well, for me, it's like every great empire has a dark history. So, I mean,
it's true.
Only by changing it over time can they become better.
Okay. So you would work to change them from the inside, similar to Dusty?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, like, if we look at, like, ancient Rome or something, like Caesar's Legion, they're just evil. But ancient Rome was on evil grounds. But every empire can be turned around to better things.
Yeah, every sufficiently complex political system can be corrupted and generally goes through at least some phase of corruption. Absolutely. That is a part of it. Geob's got a question for you. What do you want to know?
I guess so, because you talk, again, this kind of applies to, I guess, both of you guys who said the Enclave. You talk about like this whole perspective, but are you talking purely being soldiers, or are you talking about having to be politicians and having to do that work? Because that's where the real change comes from. I mean, even a real government comes from the people in Washington or wherever their capital is. It's not the people on ground, you know, doing that kind of work. It's you know, trying to sway other people of the faction. Are you ready to do that kind of work?
Yeah, Wasteland Ronin, go chime in on that one.
Yeah, I would want to be more of not a politician, because they don't really see what's all on, like, in the Wasteland. They're more like behind the scenes. I'd consider myself trying to be somebody that would like know what's going on in the Wasteland, but also consolidated with the politicians.
Could you see yourself serving as like a soldier long enough to get a sense of the way things are, and then turning into more of a politician role later in your life in order to kind of sway the way things are actually run?
Yeah, I think that if you like have experience in the Wasteland, then you go to become a politician, you're like, hey, this is the crazy crap out there. This is what we got to do. Like, there's right. A whole chaotic world out there.
You mentioned Caesar's Legion, but like Julius Caesar, it's kind of like that, right? Like,
yeah.
Soldier.
Yeah, he became
a general. Become a politician, like basically change things from the inside, but also had a real firm sense of where society was, what the soldiers felt, what they believed, what they fought for, all of that kind of thing.
Yeah, I think they have a good understanding from the top. You got to understand from the bottom where everyone else is dealing with their stuff out there.
Right. Teddy's got a question. Ted, what do you want to know?
Yeah, so this can actually go towards the Brotherhood guys and the Enclave. So if you choose soldier, you know, from the perspective of how you want to do it, how do you know the top leadership is not going to have like a Hydra shield situation where you try to create relationships with the Brotherhood and you're being led into a, you know, betrayal situation where the Enclave tries to take power again? I feel like someone kind of has to take that leadership role to make sure that doesn't happen if you're really trying to help the Commonwealth or the Wasteland in general.
Yeah, I mean, it feels more like a rhetorical question. I'm not sure you would know that for sure, right? But like, they would definitely be careful about how they're being led or misled and used. Like, what would you do to be careful about that?
It's a good question.
I mean, I don't know that it's an easy question to answer, because it's like,
yeah, I don't know. I mean, Enclave's more, I'd see Enclave more as like a, like an FBI agency type thing rather than Brotherhood of Steel. But like, I feel like Enclave has more like special agents and all that, so they're more like stealthy of like their intentions and whatnot. So like, I feel like Enclave would be a little bit harder to, you know, make change. So you'd have to be really careful whose toes you step on.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, like, this is what's so wonderful about Fallout also is, from one perspective, you look at the Enclave and you go, oh, well, they only consider pure humans who have not had any FEV exposure or radiation to be humans. Everyone else is a mutant, and therefore they should be killed and destroyed. And from one perspective, you go, oh, but no, some of my favorite characters are ghouls or even just regular people who've lived in the wasteland their whole lives and they've definitely been exposed to FEV or whatever. You can't just kill everybody because people are people. But then you could also look at it from the perspective of, but they're trying to return the world to the way it was before the wasteland happened. So it makes sense to get rid of anyone who has exposure to FEV because that's causing all the problems. Like, you can see that they are in a very specific way justified in those beliefs. Like, it's not a simple thing, right? Like, yeah, you don't want to kill innocent people, but also you kind of want to stop the world from being terrible. So what do you do, right? It's a weird dilemma for sure. All right, any last thoughts, Ronan?
No, that's all I had. I think they're just a pretty great force. And for my 40K people in here that paint their little minifigures, I also paint Enclave figures.
Nice. All right, Spartan, I think Spartan hasn't gone yet, right? And Lil Green hasn't gone. Spartan, do you want to go?
Yeah, I can go. I think mine's probably a little more on the more controversial side too. So,
okay.
So I feel like mine comes with some explaining that I'm going to have to do, but I was thinking go with the Gunners.
Okay.
But with that, I know the Gunners are responsible for one of the worst things you hear about that happens in four with the massacre, but a lot of the characters that you meet in four, or the companions in four, will tell you different things about the Gunners, mm-hmm. Like Piper and Deacon and all that. And I think it's Piper actually. But if you talk to Piper, she'll talk about how, on one hand, they have similar, like they have training on level with the Brotherhood, but then also their efforts and like the things that the Gunners are doing aren't at all organized, which to me tells me that basically, if you get high enough up in the chain of the Gunners, you can essentially just like run the Gunners underneath you as like a colonel or whatever rank you are, however you want, as long as you're making money for the Gunners, because that's all the Gunners care about. And so I think if you were able to, because they also have training, apparently, if you were able to determine which kind of like sect or group or like collaboration of the Gunners were kind of better or worse or doing, like, because like one group clearly did the thing at Quincy, but from what Piper says, they're that the efforts that they make don't really seem organized. So it seems like I said, like the different, like once you get high enough up, you can kind of enact your own agenda,
right? Well, they seem at least in my understanding, they're mercenaries, right? So
yeah,
like it's not like about their agenda to kill these people for any reason other than they got hired to do it,
right? Well, and that's, but my thing is like, because they also talk about like they just take like, they'll take like caravan guarding jobs, like they'll take lesser, like more basic, like kind of like, oh, let's help these people jobs, like they'll take jobs for the rich people in Diamond City,
right? It's all about just making money,
yeah,
just doing a thing to make money, and they just don't have boundaries around it. Is what, yeah, it comes,
it's
down
like
to.
You, I'm sure there are leaders in the Gunners that are like kind of like, oh, we'll just take the caravan jobs, or like we'll just take, like there are, I'm sure, like more violent and more ruthless leaders and less violent and less ruthless leaders, as long as they're making money. I don't really think the Gunners care.
Yeah.
And so
yeah,
I think that like being able to join a faction that, one, they're incredibly well armed and they're at least organized enough, like you're not really going to be in danger. Like you kind of are the danger. Like, not that that's always a good thing, but in like the wasteland sense, it kind of feels like it is, because it's like, you know, you are in a group that's very heavily armed. There's training. So if you don't really know what you're doing, you can kind of get trained along there. It seems like, because it seems like they have training. They do have power armor. They have their own vertibirds.
Yeah. Yeah. So
like,
I get what you're saying. Like, if
and I'm mostly thinking just in self-preservation, because it's like if I'm in the wasteland, like I'm mostly just trying to think of what makes my time in the wasteland last the longest. Like that's kind of where I'm at. Like I don't want to die in the wasteland. So like I think an organization like the Gunners, like I said, like I think you would probably be able to figure out like, oh, this colonel, you know, this colonel only takes caravan jobs. Like, you know, it's not really, you know, I'm not going and killing townspeople, you know, I don't have. So like if you have moral like objections to the things they do, I think it would be at least a possibility that you could kind of manipulate where you got recruited and your kind of path there with the people, you know, in the Gunners to kind of land somewhere where you're not taking those jobs. And like, yeah, maybe it's like, it sucks that like that other Gunner group is doing that. But it's like, that's, you know, we're not doing it. We're just doing the caravan jobs.
So. Or if you're in charge of all the Gunners, then you can make a certain call of these are the kinds of jobs we do and these are the kinds of jobs we don't. And that's the line.
That's because that's kind of the other thing, too, is like nobody, it's not really ever made clear who's actually like the ultimate one calling the shots with the Gunners. Right. Like they have like all those ranks and all those leaders, but it's like the person at the.
Is there like a CEO of the organization that's just like, like in
the,
charge?
The top Gunner, I guess.
Right. Mr. Gunner.
It's just like nobody. We don't really know anything about that. So like, because I feel like. Like if you could rise up the ranks in the Gunners, then you could be the one that's like, oh yeah, we're just going to take caravan jobs. Like you can almost use one of the mercenary groups to like help out settlements and be like, all right, well, we'll take jobs for this settlement.
It's the same justification that we talked about before, like getting on the inside and changing them from the inside. Right. Jeb had a question for you. Jeb, what were you wanting to know?
I guess my kind of question is like, I guess, are you talking about as far as staying in long enough to actually become someone like a shot caller, pretty much someone who actually is in charge and kind of make those kinds of changes? And then I also, my question is that even if you want to make them more moral choices, you know, those caravan guarding jobs or those protection jobs, you still have to make money. I assume people, a lot of times they take these positions of raiding things or doing these things because they pay better. And ultimately at the end of the day, that's the people under you, that's what they want. They want to get the most amount of money. I guess, how do you avoid like a situation where, to parallel to something else, like the outcasts and the Brotherhood who said, you know what, you're not doing what we want. We don't agree with this. So we're walking off and starting our own faction. How do you kind of mitigate that?
Or they're just desperate. So you got to take whatever jobs come your way. Because you're starving or whatever. Yeah,
I think that's a good point. I think like one of the things I was thinking was, because we do know that the Gunners will take, like they'll take jobs for like the rich people in Diamond City. So I feel like some of those probably like, maybe like, it's almost like you're choosing the lesser of two evils. Like you'll probably still like, because the rich people in Diamond City, some of the stuff, some of the quests are there. You're not like doing good things necessarily, but it's a lot different of things that you're doing than like, something like the Quincy Massacre or like wiping out an entire settlement or like, you know, slaughter on that level. So like, I think the thing that it would really come down to I guess the option would be to try to stay in and rise up and make my own, but also just like, if I became aware of like, oh, this colonel has a successful, you know, Gunners segment of troops and they mostly take caravan jobs. Like, you know, he's got the system working. Like, so like you'd be able to kind of determine, just like if you were, you know, in any other type of thing like that, like there's going to be different leaders that kind of do different things or run their subordinates differently. And so like, I feel like if you were able to determine like this guy is a more benevolent, you know, colonel, or not benevolent, because like they're all taking the, you know, combat type jobs. But like if there was somebody that took more, like you could determine like, oh, this guy, you know, has a good reputation for taking jobs that are kind of friendly to settlements, or like he's taking jobs for members of settlements instead of taking jobs that would kind of be more like raiding jobs. Then if you got into that Gunner troop, you could kind of just exist as a Gunner. Even if you were a low level recruit, you could just, you know, you're not really being, or you would kind of have a good chance of not expecting to have to do anything that crazy from like a moral standpoint, but also you're very well armed and like seems like they have all their needs provided for from like a food and then like other resources standpoint. So
yeah, Ted wants to hire you to help with the baseball league. So you can get hired to do that. Zombie Dude's got a question for you.
So as of where the gunners stand from in the games, as far as I know of, I do have a very like sort of moral question for you. So let's say like your gunners group is well made in caps or even just in supplies or whatever it is. Would you do the things that you do more or less to get even more rich and to be even more well off? Or would you prefer to keep it to where we only do these jobs for the betterment of certain things or better supply chains or, you know, moral standpoint higher than money?
Just survival or money. Yeah. It's a good question. What do you think, Spartan?
I would probably want to do the more altruistic one, but I don't know if that would end up being what happens.
Yeah.
Like I think that like, especially in the wasteland, like, I don't know. I think like just like thinking of myself like in the wasteland, like, because as I would be if I was in the gunners, like as I was taking jobs, whether even if it was just something like caravan guarding, you're out in the wasteland, like you're seeing all of the, you know, the conditions everyone else is in or like the wasteland is in general. And so like having like food and like having everything that like it seems like a mercenary group like the gunners like has like that, like are in shortages elsewhere. I think that would probably just make me want to take the highest paying jobs because I would want to keep the stuff that I have that's helping keep me alive.
Right.
Just after seeing like how much of like how lucky that like as an individual I was that I had access to that stuff.
Yeah, it's kind of a tricky line to walk, you know? That makes sense though. All right. Any other questions? Any other questions for Spartan? We've got Spartan, I think that's it. Any final thoughts, Spartan?
No, I wish you could do more with them in four, because I feel like you could like kind of like there could have been something where like you got like you could take over your own sect and kind of make them more like or like less of like a threat and more of like a force for maybe not good. Like obviously like you could like because like they'll do good things if it pays well. So it's right. Like I think there right. Could have been like some interesting stuff there where you're like making some choices and kind of pushing them in a more gray direction than like a directly like
they are
an enemy direction. But I don't know. I just think that most of my thinking was just along like that they have incredibly good supplies and they seem to have like a good like the revenue, like the money comes in, they have supplies, like they have good weapons, that's we are well protected. So it's like it feels safer than a lot of the other options. And like I would want to go out on a
mission and then just get killed because
it could
ridiculous.
Go wrong. Like it I could think totally it could go wrong. South. Like yeah. if you
it's
like,
a double edged sword though. Yeah. You got the supplies, but then you got the dangerous things you gotta do. And so how
it's
does
definitely
that work
a gamble,
out?
But yeah. I'll take it. I'll take the gamble.
I can see that. Yeah. All right. Cool. All right. I forgot Germinator hadn't chimed in. Germinator was talking earlier. So in my head, I was like, Germinator already talked. But hey, Germinator, let's go to you. I think you might be the last one, unless Lil wants to jump in. Lil, you want to jump in? No. Lil's like, yeah, it's fine. All right. So what faction, Germinator?
Well, pretty simple and probably most overlooked.
The Mojave Express. He held up a sign for anybody listening to the audio version, which is like 99% of our listener. Anyway, so the Mojave Express. Okay, why the Mojave Express?
Well, what's more badass than just some dude walking around delivering stuff and single-handedly cleaning up the entire Mojave wasteland?
Okay.
You single-handedly decides who gets control over Hoover Dam, for example.
Okay. Yeah. I love how this
destroy everyone.
I love how this conversation has moved from like in my mind, like it was pitched as like factions, and I'm like, cool, Brotherhood, the Enclave, you know, like going down like the main ones, and we're now in like companies and organizations, you know, like the Mojave Express. All right. I mean, that feels like you're basically the most badass delivery person.
Exactly.
Ever, right? Like you've got to survive. You it's like, here, I need this delivered, but you got to go, you know, 15 miles across the wasteland in the desert with like rad scorpions and death claws and super mutants and who knows what else is out there, maybe even Caesar's Legion. That's the thing you want to do. Like,
well, I mean, it's basically just like Australia.
Oh, well, there you go. Yeah. I mean, that's kind of what you do in real life, right? Like,
yeah.
you're a truck driver, right?
I'd figure out a way to get one of the old steam engines going and just use that.
Oh.
Like a steam tractor.
All right. So you build your own tractor and then you would just like haul across the wasteland.
Who's going to stop me?
All right. Okay. Okay. I would imagine that they probably don't equip you with too much. What would you make sure to be equipped with in order to do this?
Oh, I'd definitely be carrying a Ranger Sequoia.
Okay.
You know, the big revolver.
Yeah. Yeah.
I
got to run around with that big pistol.
Yeah. Are you sure you wouldn't do that? Like,
Nova's like, are you sure?
Like, I mean, you already fractured your tibia, so you should know how a bone breaking feels, and you want to fire a 400 grain projectile going 2,000 feet per second out of a revolver. Mind you, a revolver has no mechanical absorbance or has no mechanical device to eat up the actual energy.
Oh, he's going to train. He's going to be so ready.
I've already fired some here in Australia.
Nova, I have two words for you or three words for you. 500 Magnum.
Yeah, that's not as powerful as 4570.
Well, we'll have to debate this after the show, but either way, that's pretty badass, right? Like I feel like that's the kind of person who, if you survive long enough, people start telling stories about you. Like, there's the courier, there's the lone wanderer, and then there's the Germinator. Yeah. The Germinator, the most badass Mojave Express delivery guy ever. Willow's got a question for you. Willow?
It's a Germinator went. You guys could choose all that. I'm choosing main character.
Right. All right, Willow, what's your question?
So you have, it's the courier, the chosen one, the wanderer. Oh, yeah, that was he bloke who goes around delivers things.
The Aussie. How'd that Aussie end up in the middle of the wasteland in the U.S.? How did that happen? Well, I don't know. Maybe you were just visiting when the bombs dropped and then you just got stuck here. I have a feeling you're probably also a ghoul, and like the ghoul in the TV series have existed for like hundreds of years, and that's why you're such a badass.
I like that idea.
Okay. All right. Do you keep your Aussie accent, or over the decades do you go more Western?
Nah, you're gonna have to keep it.
Yeah. All right. Because the ghoul character in the TV show talks differently than he did when he was Cooper before the war, right? Like, he definitely leans into his cowboy persona. Would you wear a cowboy hat? I think it's a yes. He's reaching for something. Oh, yeah, there you go. See, already got the hat. So, all right, we got a few more questions. I don't know who was first. Teddy, go chime in. What's your question?
So I'm going to assume, kind of like the post service with the rain, sleet, and snow, radiation storm, you got to take something out. It's nothing stopping you, right?
Yeah. Correct. Well, if you're a ghoul, it doesn't really matter that much.
I mean, that's true.
You kind of got some natural resistance there. Yeah.
What's your walk radius? What's the mileage before it goes to, you're like, no, that's courier number three.
what's your range? Yeah.
Well, I mean, I've walked 70 kilometers in about 10 hours. So that's, I think, roughly, 50 miles?
You've also got a tractor, so you can do multi-day journeys, probably. You just got to hop back on your tractor, find a place to camp, you know, that kind of thing. Giob's got a question for you.
So I got it. You're carrying around a big pistol, so you're able to defend. Now I want to ask, what is your delivery guarantee policy? Are you just going to leave that on my doorstep, or are you going to actually hand it to me? I've had too many Amazon packages stolen, so I want my platinum chip. Like, you're not going to, there's none of this, you know, oh, you have to be here signed in 24 hours. No, I want it now. Like, don't leave that on my front door.
No. I'd be handing it to you personally. Even if you refuse to, I'll just hold you at gunpoint until you take your package.
Nice. Nice.
See, that's quality.
Sorry, Jeb, but the game was rigged from the start.
Oh, so. No. Awesome. Did anyone else have a question? Any other questions for Germinator? Germinator, this is a fun one. This is a fun one to wrap up with. Oh, Nova's got a question. Go ahead.
What routes would you take? Like, what part of the country would you prefer to work in?
I'll do the whole lot.
So you
from Alaska to Mexico.
I mean, if you're a 200-year-old ghoul, you've probably been to all those
east
places.
East to west. Don't you
dare, don't you dare just call, like, discount our east to west. We don't have just north to south.
He means both. He means both. He means north, south, east, west, across the whole continent, right?
As long as I don't have to go to Alabama.
Okay. All right. Those swamp people.
Yeah.
All right. Well, now that we've alienated all of our listeners in Alabama, this is super fun, everybody. Thank you for joining me talking about this. We went a little extra long, but I have a feeling you guys don't mind. Let's try to go through this end part as quick as we can. I'm going to go back through everybody in order on my screen, and feel free to just real quickly just shout out like, hey, I've got this cool thing you should check out. This is who I am. Thanks for being here. That sort of thing. So let's start with Zombie Dude, Basic Zombie Dude. Thank you for joining us. Anything you want to shout out?
You can typically find me in the Discord. Same name as in here, that Basic Zombie Dude. I sometimes stream on Twitch. Haven't been doing it lately. Been playing a lot of Batman Arkham. So that's probably what I'll end up streaming once I get it on PC. I'm going for all achievements for all of them.
Cool.
If you're ever interested in achievement hunting content, you know, pretty much about it.
Awesome. Well, thanks, Zombie Dude. All right, Willow or Bread Couch.
You can find me on the Discord as BreadCouch in brackets for breading. And I have a music Instagram account, which I need to post to more, which is EYES0R3_music. Quite a long-winded one, but yeah.
Nice. Thanks for joining us. And then Germinator again. Anything you want to share?
Yeah. I mean, I spend a lot of time gaming these days until I'm cleared to go back to work. But yeah, you can just find me on Discord, same name as on here.
All right. I hope the recovery keeps going well. Hope you get back to it.
Yeah, I hope so too.
Yeah, man. Thanks for joining us. And then Void, anything you want to share?
Hello.
Hey.
You can always find me on the Discord. My DMs are always open. Same name as on here, V01D696. I am going to be starting my own D&D campaign soon. So if you've been watching the live stream or you end up watching the video or wherever this is, and you see me flipping through pages, that's what I've been doing. And it will hopefully become a podcast. Sorry, Tom, it's not going to be on the...
That's fine. Yeah.
On the Rocket Club. And if you're interested in podcasts, go to the Rocket Club. It's great. free advertising.
Awesome. Yeah. Good luck with that.
So yeah.
Awesome. Thanks for joining us. Yeah, good luck with your campaign and your potential podcast and all of that. That sounds like a lot of fun. All right, Last Paragon, you're up next. Anything you want to share?
You can always find me in the Discord. I might not be able to reply to you right away, but I will be able to get to you. And hopefully in the next month or so, I'm going to be reinventing this desk so I can start streaming. So that'll be fun.
Nice. Well, good luck with that. That sounds cool.
Thank you.
St. Geob. You got anything to share?
Nothing really. Just still St. Geob on the Discord. Creative wise, no, nothing really too particular. I started writing a few short stories that I don't know when and if they ever will get completed, but they're more comedic. So, but they're science fiction. So we'll see if I can, you know, drum up the inspiration to actually finish them.
All right. Well, good luck. I know from personal perspective, obviously I create a lot of content, but I've also tried writing stories before, and I've always gotten so far and then just kind of been like and then it peters off. So good luck, hopefully you can keep up with it.
Try not to let that happen this time.
Yeah. Awesome. Nova, you've got stuff to share, right?
Yeah, well, I'm always on the Discord, so find me on there and feel free to hit me up. I love to talk about Fallout, guns, Call of Duty, etc., games, history, whatever. I have a YouTube channel, which is just Supernova, just capital S U P E R, capital N, zero, capital V, capital A. Look for the Golden Retriever icon. I'm currently doing a short series, a YouTube short series on the resource wars. I just got to the Sino-American War, and I'm making all that as one big chunk. So I haven't posted in quite a while, but we're looking forward to that.
Awesome. Yeah, go check out Nova's stuff. Very cool, man. Thanks for joining us again. And then Dusty.
It's always a pleasure.
Yeah, dude. Dusty, you're up next. Anything you want to share?
Not much. Like everybody else, you can find me on Discord under the same name here, DustyRay85, and you can find me on Playing 76, roaming around the wasteland.
Very cool. What platform are you on?
PC.
Cool. Awesome. thanks for joining us. AK Spartan, you're up Thank next. You. You got stuff, right?
Yeah, no, I am one of the hosts of the Elden Archives, which is the Elden Ring lorecast for the network. And so we have episodes for that every week. They come out on Saturdays. I've been playing a lot of the DLC. That's been fun. I don't think it's too hard.
Well, they just made it easier with the latest patch.
I saw that too. Yeah. I think that's fine too. Like, I didn't think it was particularly too hard. There were some moments. I'm at the last boss. I won't say anything spoiler wise, but like, I getting to that point, there was a couple of the moments that I thought were that took me like a few hours, and I was like, oh man, that's a lot harder than I thought it would be. But I then realized I had less than half of the blessings that power you up. So I didn't engage in the thing properly, and I still didn't think it was too bad. So yeah. I think the reaction is a little bit ridiculous.
All right.
But no, that is what I've been doing, and that is where everybody can find me otherwise.
Yeah, go check out the Elden Archives, because you know there's a ton of real wacky Elden Ring lore. And I said Elden lore? That's not how that works. Go check that out.
I could have gone my whole life without the new jar enemies from the DLC.
Oh, I don't know that I've seen them yet.
Right. Yeah. I could have gone my whole life without learning more about those, but that's something to look forward to if anybody doesn't know what I'm talking about.
Okay. Yet. I'll have to look that up. Awesome. Awesome. All right. Teddy, you're up next. Anything you want to share?
I'm on Discord if anybody wants to chat. I think I'm about 30 episodes away from being caught up on the Fallout podcast. So excited to finally be caught up after I think I've been listening to about 4 months. So trying to get up to speed. And outside of that, just a holiday week next week. So I hope everybody has a great 4th of July that celebrates, and safe travels for anyone going on vacation.
Awesome. Awesome. Yeah. Thanks. Thanks. And thanks for being here. Lil Green, I know you've just kind of been chilling out. Anything you want to say? Anything?
I've honestly been working through this whole thing. I have a backlog of work I'm trying to get caught up on.
Yeah. But, well, I'm glad you got to at least like sit in and be part of the group, you know?
Yeah,
That's awesome.
But, you know, if you want to talk to me, I'm on the Discords, obviously. I'm also going to hop back into 76 on the PC, check out the new expansion. But if you want to check out any of my photography work, which hopefully I'll be posting some in the next week or two, you can follow me on Instagram at littlegreen_photography.com, or well, just littlegreen_photography. I'm tired. I'm sorry.
No problem.
That's all I got.
Hey, I mess up words all the time, so I totally get it. Thanks for being here, man. And then Pumpkin, you're wrapping it up.
Woohoo! Yeah, the one whose Zoom freaked out in the middle of the call.
Yeah. Well, you're still here, so that's good.
Yeah.
What do you want to share?
Well, you can always find me at the Discord, the Pumpkin King. You can find me that's basically my name everywhere. It's the Pumpkin King with the E being a 3 and the I's being 1s. But I brought up this last month, the basic zombie dude here in the call with me, and Pluto, who sadly wasn't here tonight, are going to be hosting a podcast coming up called the Zombie Apocalypse Survival Club. There's more to the name, but that's the gist of the what we're going by. You can go Zask for short. We do have our first 6-minute episode on Spotify. We're still figuring everything out on how to connecting everything, but that our little we have a 6-minute
little episode zero, a little intro episode,
little right. episode zero. Yeah. So, I'll probably post it in the Rocket Club Discord that we have, the one that Tom made us just recently. But we're happy to join the Rocket Club family. We're very happy to be here.
Awesome. Yeah. Good luck with that. I hope you guys get some new episodes up and get that rolling, because that's exciting. All right, everybody. Thank you for being here. Chat, thank you for joining as well. Also, thank you for the subs that happened. German Hair subbed, Ghost Toadlet subbed in the live stream. And just another reminder, I'll be streaming more. I'm trying to stream as much as I can. Usually that'll be like afternoons. I'm thinking maybe in the afternoons, I'm Eastern time, so maybe 2-3 p.m. Eastern. On Mondays might be like Fallout Day, then I'll do some more Fallout stuff. And then if you want to access that stuff, of course, it's going to be on the Patreon. That's another way to say thank you so much for all the support. So lots of fun stuff. Thank you for being here, everybody. And I hope you have a wonderful week. And regardless of whatever faction you pick, hopefully you survive the wasteland, as daunting as that sounds. See you all next time. Thanks for being here. To plug into everything else we're doing, check out robotsradio.net. Reach out to me on Twitter at robots_radio. Check out the Robots Radio Rocket Club, where you can join me and a bunch of our other creators creating your podcast, starting a new podcast, or helping your current podcast grow. There's more information about that on robotsradio.net as well. And you can always talk with us and the entire community, over 2,000 people on the Robots Radio Discord. Come join us. We'd love to chat with you. See you guys next time.